Good evening, everyone. My name is James Sagerton. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee for November 30th, 2021. We believe we have a quorum, so we're ready to convene the meeting. I'm going to ask the secretary to call the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa J. Allen? Nick Arena?
Here.
Fred Blair?
Here.
Chris Corey? Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt? R. Paul Martin, here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Okay, that is eight, and that's a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Very good. Now we're going to go briefly to adopt the agenda. I'll read the agenda. Convene meeting at 8:30 is number one. Number two is roll call. Number three, adopt the agenda. Number four, the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval for 3 minutes. Number six, schedule an executive session to review the audit letter, 5 minutes. Number seven, report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director, 10 minutes report and question and answer. Number eight, report on the application for an EIDL loan, that's an economic injury disaster loan, the CFO reporting for 10 minutes with Q&A. Number nine, ICFO report, 20 minutes report and Q&A. Number 10, review the year-end September financials, ICFO reporting and Q&A, 50 minutes. 11, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 2022, 5 minutes. Number 12, unfinished business with the national office, compile a list to share with the national office of year-end outstanding items. Number 13, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Are there any additions or changes or discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting this agenda as read? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. Thank you. Now we'll go to number four, the chair's announcements. Going to begin with a sad announcement. We are sad to report tonight that Jose Gutierrez, Pacifica affiliate director and longtime radio host from KAOS or Chaos in Olympia, Washington, has passed away reportedly from an infection of COVID-19. He was 44 years old. It is significant to me and perhaps all of us that among the last things he decided to do in his life was to join us at Pacifica as an affiliate director on the Pacifica National Board in spite of an ongoing serious medical condition. And tonight we will review the year-end September 2021 financials. We did not have the year-end September financials for review until now because the necessary information had not been received from the stations in a timely manner. Preparations are ongoing for the fiscal year 22 audit. My apology, R. Paul. The outstanding balance on the fiscal year 20 audit has been paid, and the fiscal year 22 audit can commence. I actually obviously have the numbers fouled up there. The process of making an application for a Pacifica EIDL loan or the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan has begun. There are no other new announcements.
Don't you mean, isn't it correct as written there, we're preparing to do the FY21 audit?
I'm sorry, yes. I got flummoxed there. Yes, correct. Thank you.
I do have a question, James. Oh. When you're ready.
Sure. Go ahead, Sharon.
Just about what you said about the EIDL program, I thought we had already applied. So when you said we're applying for it, are you mean we're applying for another, like, portion of the $2 million? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Now? Correct. Okay. Anita will report on that in later in the agenda.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically correct. Okay. Any other questions on the announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on. This takes us to minutes approval. Our Paul?
Okay. I move to approve the minutes of the November 9th, 2021 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that's done. Is that all, our Paul?
That's it.
Correct. Thank you. Okay, that takes us to number 6 on our agenda. This is to schedule an executive session to review the audit letter. This item may not be necessary if the audit committee meets and does this, but it's been suggested that we might want to do that ourselves anyway. And of course, audit letters I called it the audit letter. It's actually the management letter. Those are confidential and should be discussed in executive session. So this is not necessarily to say that we will do this, but I would like to have this available in case we would like to. Is there any discussion, comment?
This is Sharon again.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Are you meaning for today's meeting or are you talking about like in the future?
No, we're just scheduling the executive session for the future.
Okay. No objection.
Anyone else? Hearing none. We'll consider that adopted. And Paul, I hope you can get that up tonight before it's too late.
Okay, wait a minute.
Sorry about that.
There's no motion there. When is it scheduled for, I wonder?
Oh, I'm sorry. Good question. All right. So the motion would be the Pacifica National Finance Committee resolves to schedule an executive session for December for it would be the first. What's the first meeting in December? The 14th.
The first in December is the 14th. Yes.
Okay, so it'd be for the December 14th regular scheduled meeting.
Okay, so
you have that. Is that sufficient?
No. The NFC resolves to schedule an executive session for the December 14th meeting. Do you want to it's not the whole meeting, right?
No.
Okay, so we'll have an executive. Okay, all right. We can, we'll decide at some later point.
I'm sorry.
I got to phrase that. Why are we having?
To review the management letter from the last audit.
Is that what we... We got to put in the thing about confidential stuff. So I guess something like to review confidential information, I don't know, from the auditors or something.
It is essentially recommendations, if you will. So you could say to review the recommendations.
Is there an issue with just calling it what it is, the management letter?
Well, we could do that, but I don't think it's going
to
communicate anything to most people.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, yeah, good.
Call it the confidential management letter? Confidential lowercase management letter uppercase.
I sense that our Paul's wheels are turning and he's writing.
I'm typing. I don't use wheels anymore. I use keys. The NFC resolves to schedule an executive session for the December 14th meeting to review the recommendations of the recommendations contained in. How about that? Hold on. To review the recommendation contained in the confidential management letter from the auditors.
Yeah, maybe we want to put the date in there from the 2020 audit.
The NFC resolves to schedule an executive session for the December 14th meeting to review the recommendations contained in the confidential management letter from the auditors from the confidential from the auditors from the FY20 audit. Well, it's not going to win a Pulitzer Prize.
Let's just knock out that first mention of auditors, since you're saying that comes from the audit.
Recommendations of the confidential management letters from the FY20 audit. Yeah, let's put it up. Let's move that over there. NFC resolves to schedule an executive session for the December 14th meeting to review the recommendations contained in the confidential management letter from the FY20 audit. Sound okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
I'll try, and the next time I do something like that, I'll try and bring it better formed. Save a little time.
And the idea will be that we'll figure out how to schedule that, how to agenda that at the meeting.
I was thinking, yeah, hold the open session, and then when we're ready, go into that. Is that okay?
I will add that we're going to go into an executive session. For this reason.
Yes.
Yeah, because we got to say why we're going to do it.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Okay, thank you, Arpal, as always, for your crafting there.
Did we just pass it?
Good question. Is there any objection or any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, we passed it. Now I'll thank you again, Arpal. Okay. That takes us to number 7, which is a report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director, 10 minutes report and Q&A. I don't believe Lydia is with us. Are you here, Lydia? Didn't think so. So we'll pass over that and move on to number 8, which is a report on the application for an EIDL loan, an economic injury disaster loan, from the ICFO for 10 minutes. Anita, you may not take that long, but you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really just wanted to bring everyone up to date to where we were at. We will go ahead and submit that drawdown, if you will, for the $1.5 million by probably tomorrow, though Tamara had already started, to my knowledge, so I'm hoping that we submit it by tomorrow. Again, that would help us tremendously to catch up on a lot of expenditures and perhaps relieve some of the stress that I think all of us are feeling. So with that in mind, I did have a call with Tamara and also with Lydia, and we totally agreed to move forward on it. And I think that's really all that I need to report, but be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Sharon, would you like to ask your question now?
Oh, well, I actually had a question in my mind, James. You must have read my mind. I just didn't hear Anita, the amount that this tranche, I guess is the word, is for?
It's $1.5 million remaining.
Oh, you're applying for the whole remaining amount?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anita, could you describe for the committee the difference between the an application for a new EIDL loan and a drawdown?
Well, I mean, the difference is that according to any discussion that Lydia has had, that we were in line for the full amount, and we both heard recently that there was more money that was going to go into this grant. So I'm assuming that, you know, we would get the full $2 million, and we've already have received, over a period of time, $500,000. Go ahead.
I would say, so this is not a new application per Sharon's earlier question. This is the old application, and I guess there's some paperwork involved in applying for the drawdown. Is that it?
Correct. Correct. And initially, I think the last, the 2019 990, which is the tax return, had been submitted. It should have been the 2020. So, I mean, as far as I know, we were waiting on the IRS. That's why we have not moved on this, quite frankly. We have the name that we needed. Tamara and I will both be working on that tomorrow, so we can proceed with getting those funds, hopefully.
Yeah, and I saw that application for the 990, and it confused me. Don't we have that? I mean, or do we need an official copy?
We have it. We are caught up with the tax returns, totally, as we are with the audit. Of course, the one for 21 coming up has not been scheduled as of yet.
So what was that application I saw for the copy?
It was for the full amount, if you will, at the time. But
I'm sorry. The application for the copy of the 990. I was confused by that.
I don't follow you on that, Jen.
There was a copy in the emails that were back and forth on this question of an application for a copy of the 990. I was just curious why we needed to get a copy. Didn't we have one of our own?
I think they wanted one from the IRS, is the email that you saw.
With an official, so that would make it an official copy, more or less.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct.
Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
This is Sharon again.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Thanks, James. Anita, if the application goes in, you know, as expected tomorrow, do you have an estimate of, like, when the funds would be distributed?
No, I understand that the turnaround is about 3 weeks, but I think the last one took about 3 weeks. You know, as more and more people, my understanding of it, and again through working with other clients, it seems to be going pretty fast as far as once everything is submitted and they have everything that they've been approving. The only difference is that for the Foundation Pacifica, the amount is much larger than others that we have worked with. But again, I'm hoping that it's within that, you know, 3 to 4 week period, if you will.
Okay.
And that it goes through different checkpoints, if you will. And I won't call it an approval process, but it probably is. All they're doing is making sure that that they have all the financial information that they need, which we have provided. Anything else?
Were you done, Sharon? That was it?
Yes, that was it.
Any other questions? Okay. I was hoping that would be quick. Thank you, Anita.
You're welcome.
And we'll now go to number 9, which is, once again, Anita, you're on. for the ICFO report. We have 20 minutes for the report and question and answer. Again, if it doesn't take that long, that's fine, of course.
All right. I guess my report is really brief. We spent a lot of time. One, I wanted to say we do have the letter that went to Lydia, the engagement letter, if you will, from the auditors. So our plan is to now communicate with them and schedule the audit for 2021. So, and they are really waiting on us to give them a date so we can all be in agreement as to what the expectation is. I would say that we have started some on getting all the schedules together, everything that we need to. Again, I don't have a timeline that I would share with you just right now. I don't imagine that we would start till after the holiday, Christmas, New Year's. Again, unless there's a deadline that we have to meet, or again, driven by Rogers, perhaps, we'll disclose that date as soon as we get there. We're working quite closely with the stations as far as cash flow. Nothing really to report. As all of you probably know, all the stations did make payroll, so we're very pleased with that. But other than that, we obviously do have some concerns in trying to come up with how that is addressed. So no doubt the idle loan is very important. Any questions?
I have a question, but I'll ask if there's anybody else who has one first. Hearing none. Anita, I was wondering, there had been some speculation on our email lists as to whether or not the audit committee should be meeting and sending out requests for proposals to search for a new auditor. Could you comment on the desirability of remaining with the same auditor for a period of time and then perhaps after a certain length of time, maybe then making a switch?
Certainly. Most organizations, not-for-profit, generally are with an auditor anywhere from 3 to 5 years. Rogers understands your business. I think this year it will go much quicker than it did in prior years. So I'm hoping, one, that the engagement letter is signed so we can move forward with it. And I would recommend giving us at least another year where you start to look. And, of course, give notice to the current auditors. It's usually the practice that I'm accustomed to. So in other words, a year's notice. Yes, sir.
And what is I understand there's a certain logic to staying with a certain auditor for a period of time because they get familiar with you and they know your business. It makes it easier and quicker to do the audit. And ensuring, I guess, some accuracy in addition. And then what's the reasoning behind periodically after a few years making a switch?
Only if you feel that, again, if the finance committee feels that they are too comfortable with us. But there's really no reason necessarily. I mean, we work so independently, if you will. Both groups. I did see the quote. It is consistent with the cost that was paid in 2020. And again, the fact, the expectation that they're going to rely on NETA to provide all the schedules, including the financial statements and the footnotes, and then all they do is, quite frankly, bring it in and pull it together. Obviously, they are verifying the numbers.
Again, I apologize. Go ahead.
No, that was really all I was going to add.
I was going to say I apologize for beating this to death, but I had understood for from attending the audit committee meetings that after a certain period of time, you want to have a fresh set of eyes, a new auditor on your account, just to make sure that nothing's being missed. But I guess for an organization of our size, perhaps that's not necessary.
I mean, you can, but I mean, we have right now, I think for expedience, if nothing else, you would want to continue with the current auditors for 2021 audit and then give them, you know, notice that you're going to do an RFP.
Yeah, I understand that completely. I'm not suggesting that we switch now. That would be perhaps sometime in the future.
Yes. I mean, but do get, I mean, Rogers also has new people on, so you do have fresh eyes, if you will, on the audit from time to time. I don't know who the team is going to be just yet because we're not to that point. But that also allows, whether it's the senior or the others that work with them on the team, that, yes, you do have different questions.
Does anyone else have a question?
Julie has a question.
Go
Anita,
ahead, Julie.
Can you remember how many years we've had Rogers? I feel like this is maybe the third, or maybe it's going to be the fourth audit that we've had Rogers do. And I will note that the previous audit firm fired us as a client, as opposed to us saying we were going to get a new auditor.
I want to say that this is the fourth year, but I'm looking for my last audit on Pacifica as I'm talking. Because I think this one, 2021, will be the fourth year.
That sounds right. Thank you, Julie. Anita, you already touched on this, but could you say a little bit about, you know, we've been talking about as NETA gets settled and is handling our accounting after a period of time, that it will become easier to do the audits. We do know that in the past, slow reporting from some of the stations with necessary information slowed down the completion of our audits. Do you still anticipate that to be better this year? And how is it so far?
Well, I mean, so far, I really do feel it's going to be easier on us also because we've had a full year of working with you. We don't have also the pressure of having two or three audits in one year also. So
yes.
To me, it's going to be easier also for them. As you can imagine, I think at any one time we probably had as many as 10 people between your audit firm and us working on, you know, getting everything reconciled and submitting to them the trial balance. So a lot of time, a lot of money.
Yes.
And again, I was very pleased to see it did have a small increase, but it was really more of a cost of living increase, minute in comparison to other firms. Even though, I mean, we do work with the other organizations that are in this total budget consolidated of about $12 million. Some of the audits that are performed are about the same in dollar amount, and in some cases even more. And it's all based on what they're doing. You know, having a CPA on staff, actually we have four of them, but George is really the lead on Pacifica because, one, he has done it for several years and very comfortable. So forth with what he, it's going to be faster. The team that has been on this account is the same controllers, senior controllers. So, again, I don't anticipate. In other words, once we get started, agree on the date, I think it'll go fairly easy. One, if the stations have everything reconciled, which to my knowledge they're working on it, it should not take us months and months to get it accomplished.
Thank you. Any other questions? I'm just going to ask one final question, Anita, for the benefit of anyone who might be listening. There's no connection between Rogers and Company and NETA other than, you know, the working relationship that you have to have when you're working for a common client. But other than that, there's no connection between Rogers or NETA. Is that right?
That's correct. None at all. We really don't know them. We've never met them in person. But only through, because we work remote, as we do with all of the CPAs or audit firms that we work with for any of our clients.
Yes. Okay, that's all I've got. Does anybody else have anything? Okay. Anita, did you have anything more in for your ICFO report?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, some issue came up with WBAI. I'd like to just give you, for you to give a review of what's going on there as far as you understand it. And also perhaps if you could give us a quick update on KPFK and how they seem to be faring.
Okay.
If you're prepared for that. I didn't ask you that in advance. So I apologize.
Well, I mean, the only issue that, again, I'm assuming that you're referring to for WBAI is that they are almost 3 months behind in tower lease. And one of the emails that I had received from Bertal was that he had heard that if the station was behind 3 months, that they could actually either take them over or cut them off. I think it was cut off. So, I mean, quite frankly, enough that I immediately made arrangements to talk to Lydia just so we were on the same page as far as what the next steps are to make ensure that that does not happen, one, and to see how we can help.
Yes, I understand that happened today, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And also they are behind on some of the payroll benefits from payroll, and primarily. And I know I don't have it in front of me, but I did receive it in an email. I think that was about it. There was some other items. So, of course, they have not been able to pay any central services at all.
All right. Okay. And anything about KPFK? About
I have an update from them, quite frankly. They were able to pay a few bills. Also, they made payroll last week, or this week, actually. They have about $44,000 in the bank, but to my knowledge, they are also behind with some benefits, health care, and I think WBAI is also.
Yeah.
But again, I'm looking for it now just to get a current. I know I had received an update on them.
It was my understanding from talking to Bertal today that they were 3 months behind on the health care, which is about $8,000 a month, I think, and 2 months behind on the tower, which is totals out to about totals to about $34,000. It's about $17,000 a month.
Correct. And that's really about it. And I guess the drive that will start tomorrow, is that correct? The fund drive?
December 6th, KPFK fund drive is supposed to start. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, December 6th. Fred, did you have anything else on KPFK? I know you said you didn't when we spoke earlier, but is there anything you wanted to add?
I think you've asked the questions I want to hear, especially about payroll. And of course, KPFK, for the entire month of November did not have a fund drive. We had 32-day fund drive in October ending November 5th, I believe it was. So it was concerning to me that there was no fund drive in November. This is the first I've heard that the December fund drive is starting on the 6th. So I am concerned about KPFK. But thank you, Anita, for all the information.
You're welcome. What I'm looking is I'm listening to you talk, because I know there was something else that was outstanding that needed to be taken care of, if you will.
Well, I have some questions about the P&L when we get to that.
All right. Yeah, they're about 4 or 5 months behind on benefits funding.
This is KPFK?
No, I'm sorry, WPI. Excuse me.
I think they gave us 1 month of free benefits. I'm not
correct.
Sure why, but apparently that saved us from sending out notices to the employees, but that won't happen again.
Our Paul, is that?
Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. So let's get the numbers. If we're behind 3 months on tower rent, wouldn't that be closer to like 51, 52? Because if it's 17 a month and we're behind 3 months, it would be like 51, 52. 34K would be 2 months. So it's going to be more like 51 or so, somewhere in there, right?
Yeah, my information was that it was only 2 months. That's why I mentioned it.
Okay, so, all right, so if it's 2 months, I guess that doesn't trigger the 3 month problem yet. You're just getting ahead on that. And this got brought up today because did they threaten something, or did the general manager say we've now hit 2 months? Because I think we hit 2 months a little while ago.
The general manager sent out an email to, I guess it was a staff, maybe it was a staff email. He was trying to urge them to produce some premiums, you know, asking for assistance and raising funds.
So that's what this is based on? Something
that
was the staff?
That was initially what it was based on, and then I guess he copied NETA on the email, and conversations ensued.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not clear on the exact order of events.
I think he wanted us to be aware, quite frankly, and I finally found the email on my phone. They owe 2 months of the tower rent for $34,000. But I think what really caught my attention is the situation is pretty dire, he said.
Those are Bertold's words.
Yes.
Yeah, he asked me specifically to mention that in the meeting tonight. He wanted that to be known.
This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
So, Anita, did you say also that WBAI is how many months behind on the benefits, and what are the benefits that they're behind on?
Let me look to see. I think they're all health.
Yeah, I think it's health benefits, right?
Yes. Keep in mind, there was probably 5 or 6 email exchanges after Tamara and I received this email this morning. Enough that, of course, we reacted immediately.
Well, I can imagine. Take your time. I just heard different numbers, so that's the only reason I'm asking. Yeah, I can imagine there was probably a lot of emails after that kind of dramatic announcement.
This is Nick for the stack.
Hi, Nick. Were you done, Sharon?
Well, I'm waiting for Anita's answer, but I think she's checking something.
I'm looking, but I don't see it. Sharon, let me continue to look. I would like to add this, and this kind of alludes to what I think James mentioned. The contract states that 3 missed payments, this on the tower rent, would allow DERS to take WBAI off the air. So, again, Bertolt just wanted us to be aware of that. And it was due to him calling a meeting and staff to see if, you know, any ideas flowed to the surface that they could implement to generate revenue. Sharon, I'll send Tamara a quick email and see if she can provide that for me.
Okay,
I don't want
thanks. Thanks.
Could I pull it on the stack after Nick?
Sure. Are you done now, Sharon?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Nick.
So just a question about the engagement with the landlord. When you fall behind on your rent, you want to talk to the landlord and talk to them about what's going on. And I don't know, Anita, if you or Tamara, who's engaged in that discussion with the landlord, you don't want to be surprised, but you want to have some dialogue, and just wondered how much, if any, of that you were aware of.
I was not aware of it at all. And I think if the question was, have we been in communication with the landlord? No, we have not.
Yeah. Do you happen to know if Bertal and any of the other staff at the station are talking to the landlord, or?
I'm not aware of that, other than Bertal, perhaps.
Bertal said that he believed that he could work something out with them, so it wouldn't really come to being pulled off the air. But he didn't specify any particular, you know, any specific negotiations that were ongoing.
Gotcha.
Our Paul, were you next? Were you done, Nick?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Some years ago, when I was chief steward in the union at BAI, management decided to balance a budget. This is back in 1990 or something. Management decided to balance the budget by not paying the health insurance, and the consequence was that we got dumped by the insurer. Is there any thought? I mean, from what I'm hearing, you're saying there may be rather a good number of premiums for the health insurance not paid. Do we have a number of just exactly how many haven't been paid? And do we know if there's any possibility that the insurer will simply cut off BAI all of a sudden?
No,
and are we near that threshold?
We have been communicating with them. So, I mean, I don't believe first of all, they will even let us know to the very end if they in fact had to send out letters to employees alerting them that the coverage had been terminated. So, I mean, that I've sent an email to staff to see if I can find out the total amount of that outstanding, if you will.
I think, again, it was 3 months, wasn't it? And then they gave us a month free, so it would have been 4 months. But since they gave us a free month, which I've never heard of, but apparently they did it. So,
Yeah, part of
my concern.
It would
have been four, but it's actually three.
Okay. All right. Part of my concern is that when this was done years, decades ago now, nobody was given any notice whatsoever by the company, by the health insurance company. We found out about it when one of the shop stewards went to get her prescription filled and told, "Nah, they're not going to cover you." And we looked into it and said, "We don't have any health insurance anymore." So, all right. So maybe they'll be, maybe the current health insurance people will be a little better about letting the people know about it if something's happening.
They seem to be very decent people enough that they would let us know before those went out to staff.
I think there are laws about you needing to pay the health insurance, which is part of why they have to do it at a certain point. I hear you, Lyndon. Go ahead.
Yes, I would think I'd blame management for not informing you instead of the insurance company, just that, me personally. The other my question is, do you have a date that the tower rent is due?
I do not have a date.
Well, I was thinking maybe Jim knows, James knows, because he's been told about this.
Sorry.
I don't know the exact date of the month that it's due. I don't know that.
Okay.
Do you know, Paul?
I'm going by memory here, so, you know, this isn't written in stone. I think it has to be within the first week, within the first week of the month. But
so it's possible.
That's memory.
So right. So it is possible that the threat to take BAI off the air could happen within 7 or 8 days.
I imagine that that's
not
possible. We do have some money that he's going to cobble together in different places. I think we brought in $6,000 today in fundraising. You know, we do daily 3 hours, 3.5 hours of fundraising a day. I think it brought in about $6,000 today, and there was some other bits of money in around in other places, money in bank. And so I think he hopes to be able to get some payments going. December is traditionally one of our better fundraising months, so we're hopeful. But of course, it remains to be seen. Anyone else? Hearing none, can move on. Did Anita, do you have anything else you wanted to say in your ICFO report?
No, sir. I think I'm fine.
Okay. So now we can go to number 10, review the year-end September financials from... Pardon me? I'm sorry. I thought I heard someone speak.
I'm looking at the agenda. Actually, we have 9 ICFO report, and then we have 10 ICFO report, followed by 11 budget timelines. So what are we going to right now?
Okay, what I have on my agenda is ICFO report 20 minutes. That was her general report on the situation around the network
right
at the current time. Then number 10 is review the year-end September financials. That would be year-end for the fiscal year just ended on September 30th. And this is the ICFO reporting Q&A 50 minutes. This is the consolidated year-end September financials, which were distributed about a week ago. And Anita, you sent them again around 4:30. Could you send them to everybody again, Anita? Do you have that handy?
I
sent them out at 4:30 Eastern time earlier today, if everybody...
I have it. I just somehow, when I copied it to something else to conveniently look at it, it changed.
Okay.
So we're now going to review year-end September financials, right?
Correct.
But
thank you.
Do I need to send them again?
If you could, that way they'd be on the top of everybody's email list, and it'll be easy to find. And we'll give everybody a minute to get there so we can all look at them together.
They are gone.
Okay. I'm just going to remind everybody, the reason we're doing this now is, as I announced in the chair's announcements at the beginning, is that we did not have the year-end September financials for review until now because the necessary information had not been received from the stations in a timely manner. So NETA was waiting to get all of the information in from all of the stations, because these are consolidated reports. We don't do individual stations. We have to pay a lot more money for that. So we're doing them consolidated. We're one organization with one tax number. So it doesn't start until all the information gets in. I guess it starts, but it can't be completed until all the information is available.
James?
Okay, is everybody finding them?
Yes.
I'm sorry, was someone speaking?
Fred was. I just wanted to let you know I got them.
Oh, thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
So everybody speak up when you have them.
I've got them.
I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it.
Again, we had them about a week ago, but just updating for now. Okay.
Go ahead.
Why don't you go ahead, Anita?
I was going to say, if everyone has them, then, and I know this is such an exciting report. I'm kidding. I will go ahead and get started. Again, I'd like to start out with the consolidated statement, which is the first tab when you open the document. And I will try to talk slower. I realize sometimes I do talk very fast. And please stop me if you have a question. Again, I'm going to kind of point out some variables in the revenue section, if you will, the consolidated report. And really, I'll start with the overall net income, which is line 43, if you want to follow me on that one. AF, so what I'm looking at is year-to-date actual against prior year-to-date. And notice there's a typo there in prior. Well, it looks like it. Anyway, again, and the only other comment I want to say, keep in mind that this ending number could change as once the audit gets started, if there's expenses, as I understand, that Julia had found that still need to be incorporated for their September expenses, again, for KPFK. So this number is not the number that we show here that is in concrete forever. It no doubt will change. So we're showing a combined gain of $308,000 versus $900,000 net income year-to-date as of last September. So again, and that is in the column AH, if you're following me. Again, a swing or an overall decrease of income of $592,000. Keep in mind, we also have the recognition of the second PPP loan in there, 1.2, that was also forgiven in full.
This is Sharon. I have a question, if possible.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Yes, Anita. I see exactly what you're talking about, and I see column AH is prior year to date. Okay, I just want to get this clear. AF is year-to-date actual, which is
fiscal year 20. And so 8H would be actually fiscal year 19. Oh, 21. Okay. I was confused there. Fiscal year 21. And prior year to date then is fiscal year 20. AH.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Good. Great question. Don't hesitate
to stop. This is Lyndon. I have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Anita. Thank you for pointing out that, you know, part of that 308,000 positive year-to-date actual includes the, 1.22 million from the second PPP loan. And,
correct.
And so is the first PPP loan, is it in the 2020 numbers?
Yes. And when we were in audit, and the auditors, of course, we shared that that had also been forgiven, the first PPP, then they went ahead and accrued that money in FY20 during the audit.
So when we're looking at the $900,000 prior year to date net income number, that actually has about 1.2 or 1.3 of PPP money in it also. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, and now I'm going to move up to line 24, total revenue. Just wanted to make some comments. Total revenue year-to-date through September 21 was $11.8 million. Versus prior year of 12.4, again, year-to-date September 2020, so a decrease of $622,000 or 39%. And you can see the percentage that's on column AJ.
This is Julie. Can I make a comment about that cell right there, the AJ,
yes,
in row 24. So
yes,
that 39%, that seemed really high to me, right? I mean, it's 600,000 out of 12 million. So I was thinking to myself, doesn't that have to be, you know, sort of kind of around 5%? And right. So what that 39% is it's the sum of all the variances above there instead of being percent
yeah.
variance, instead of being the percent that's 622,000 is of 12.4 million.
Exactly. It's really the difference to take into account the 622, if you will, AI-18 versus if you look in the cell, you can see it. You put your cursor over it. So it's taking those two numbers, if you will, to come up with the percentage using AJ-8 and AJ-23. Let me test that. I'm taking the 11 million and subtracting it from 12. But yes, the difference is the 622, 518. Some of it didn't
right.
look right, but it is.
No, it's not that those two columns aren't right. It's that the 39% variance is reported as the sum of all the variances above there, when really it should be the 622 divided
right.
by. And then we'll get something that's more like a 5% decrease ballpark, not 40%
yeah.
decrease.
I think you're right, but I mean, I never have taken that percentage total, in this case, total revenue, to be the grand total of all the above. So it clearly is just of that grand total revenue. But I see your point that we probably could change the way that we're calculating that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I'll make myself a note real quick here.
And part of the reason why I noticed it is because you cite that 39% in the narrative version. So,
right. And I'm glad any time that you have any suggestions, be happy to look at that. It would be another way of presenting it, quite frankly.